Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 100 and something. My camera's falling.
215
of Millennial Movie Talk. Someone else take the reins here for a second.
Incredible.
Because I'm
falling apart.
Incredible. Alex was fiddling with a camera, and like, if you want to see Alex absolutely manhandle a microphone arm, head over to YouTube because it is great. I'm one of your hosts, Brayden. I'm joined, as always, by the wonderful Alex.
The light looks like I've got a stain on my jumper.
Maybe I'll just do it.
The wonderful Michael.
Hello.
Alex's torso.
And the wonderful Christian.
Hello.
This is a great start. You know what? This is a good start to this episode because I think we should really draw the attention to Alex at this point in time. And I hope, yeah, I can see that he's still listening because he's got his earphones in. So I want to preface this by saying, if you're not following Alex on Letterboxd, you definitely should, because sometimes you get an absolute cracker of a week where Alex has, for some reason, just watched heaps of stuff and he's gone. All right, cool. I'm glad that we've segued into this. Oh, all right, lads, how are you doing? Are we doing all right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. I just like the idea that you can follow along with Alex's like mental health and how his life is going by looking at his letterbox.
Yeah, you know, honestly. Like... Yeah. Yeah, the letterbox
starts
can
seeing
really...
a bunch of, like, dark,
Michael, what on
movies.
Earth is that?
I don't know. It's some random thing Gemma's mum got me for my birthday in addition Ooh. To a voucher. It's just a stretchy dog.
It's a stretchy dog. Oh, is it like a little mini dash?
Yeah, but you can like warp it into some weird shape.
Ooh, get creative with it. That's one long weenie.
Nope.
And he's back.
Not as long as mine, but.
So, Alex, we all need to know, are you okay?
I had a stain on my shirt.
Yes, we
if
know
you
that.
Didn't hear him.
Yeah, that's adding to our concerns.
We were actually referring to example A, which was your recent Letterboxd account additions.
What's wrong with it?
Fill us in. What is
it's
on that
the
list?
Most random assortment of things I've ever seen.
What do you mean?
I'll say, Brayden, if we're talking about things seen on Letterboxd, can I mention something that I haven't seen on Letterboxd for you?
Oh, and, yes, you can.
Yeah, what the fuck is it?
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I need to do it. I need to do it.
You got one more to watch.
I got to do Mission Impossible Fallout.
There's a forfeit, surely, now.
I got to do it. All right.
Surely there's a forfeit.
To make up for the fact that I haven't watched Fallout yet.
No.
I thought about this already. This week, I will watch Fallout, and you guys can decide right now. You have to, you guys pick a movie, and I have to watch it.
Like any movie.
Any movie, whatever
any
it is.
Any movie.
Well, it's just like any the biggest movie. Jump
Alex,
scare
which,
fuck
yeah,
fest.
Which horror movie has Brayden been most reluctant to watch? I think you would
Wait,
know.
What's a commentary that never happened that he's avoided doing?
Nah, I feel like Evil Dead, it's not. I feel like that's not scary. I feel like that's
I feel
just
like,
boring. I need scary. Right,
you can give him a jump scare movie and he'll hate it.
Yeah, you just need a jump scare for fun reasons. That's all it
Give
means.
Him a horrific, like, World War One movie
that
he'll gonna not enjoy them. In a not fun way.
Most
just a really unenjoyable flick.
Scariest. Or do we just make it a movie so long and so, like...
Oh, God.
Like Ben-Hur. Like
Ben-Hur? What is Ben-Hur even about?
Exactly. Ben-Hur.
Yeah, we don't know.
On,
no
it's
one
in
knows.
The name.
But,
no
but it's knows. 3.5 hours.
How long?
It's how long?
3.5 hours.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, longer.
Oh, that's just Dandy Office for Chris.
I can list off a movie I watched this week longer than that.
Oh, Lawrence
there
of
you
Arabia?
Go.
Lawrence
and
of Arabia?
One that's close.
Was it Zack Snyder's Justice League?
No. Oh. I watched Gettysburg this week. 4.5 hours, just saying.
Oh my God.
Once Upon a Time in America is 4 hours and 11 minutes.
That's a long
Ooh, minute. Here's one. I got three contenders here.
Okay.
Four contenders. Wow. This one's called Satan Tango. It's 7.5 hours long.
What?
This one's called Reason. It is 14 and a half hours long. We've got The Cure for Insomnia, which is 87 hours long.
Oh, that's a funny title.
Ideally, he would start watching the movie and it would finish at about next week when it's time for the podcast. Yeah.
Beijing 20... Why? There's just movies that like a Cinematron 156 hours.
What?
Whoa.
All right, let's go back to scariest movies ever. Just give me like those quarantine movies, like when you were, remember those? Not like quarantines and COVID quarantine, like
the movies actual were quarantine, quarantine movies. Yeah, I think I know which one you're on about.
Contagion?
Like this movie. Like this one. If I can get my thingy up, green. There we are.
Why are people making movies these long?
Money.
Yeah, what are they doing? Or art.
There was an experimental film in 2012 called Logistics, which is a Swedish experimental film. It goes for 51,420 minutes.
Oh, it's just the freight vessel? Is that... I think I've heard of that.
So, do you remember this movie, Quarantine?
Quarantine. That does not ring any bells.
It is ringing a bell.
Who's in it? Anyone we know?
But, the logistics thing, am I right? It's just like a view of a cargo container as it like traverses the like world on a boat.
Here we go.
And it's just a camera that's on it.
Apparently,
they follow the production cycle of a pedometer in reverse chronological order.
If you want the most jump scares, apparently
a pedometer
that was Host in 2020 has a considerable number of jump scares in it.
Host?
Looks like it's a fucking Zoom movie.
Yeah. We've got Sinister. Could be a bit Sinister. Scary.
Is that Ethan Hawke?
That is Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, it is. It's very good.
I haven't seen it.
Very creepy one.
Yeah, I want something that's really going to like...
Fuck me up.
What's Drag Me to Hell like, Copy?
Nah, that's fun.
That's fun?
Drag Me to Hell's fun.
If you want to fuck him up, give him... All Quiet on the Western Front.
No, like, it's got to be a bit of a spook.
If it's got to be a spook, then...
Or should it just be
Requiem
awful?
For a Dream.
Winnie,
yeah, if we want to psychologically fuck him.
Maybe exactly. Winnie the Pooh, that's what I'm out to do.
Surely not.
What?
Oh, make him watch Syndokia, New York.
Sorry, make what? Him what?
I
what
need to get the title. Sindo something, New York. Sindochi, New York.
I don't want the best horror movies. I want the scariest.
I want it to be bad and scary.
I like Chris's idea of making him watch Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Have you seen it?
I have not seen Requiem.
Oh, you won't sleep. Yeah.
You're mentally not going to be prepared for it.
You will not enjoy it.
No, imagine watching that and American Psycho back. And American History X back to back.
Yep, that's a thing that no normal person has ever done. Hey,
yeah, no one's ever done that. That's that would be insane.
We didn't think that
American
that was a
Psycho.
American History X.
Requiem for a Dream sounds depressing as hell.
Yeah, I think you're gonna watch Requiem for a Dream.
Not American Psycho. American what?
American History X.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah. Then back to back.
Much worse combo. Much worse.
American Psycho would be a bit of fun.
Yeah
exactly.
That
was going to be my issue. I was going to be like, yeah, American Psycho is like not creepy crazy. Well, it is, but you know what I mean. It's fun.
Yeah. All right,
I've also not seen American Psycho.
We're watching him kill people and we're enjoying it.
You've made your bed.
All right, so I have to watch Mission Impossible, Fallout, and...
Requiem for a Dream.
Jesus.
What a double feature.
Far out. That's... Well, okay, which... Can I at least do them in Requiem for a Dream and then Mission Impossible, Fallout?
You watch Requiem first. That will affect how you enjoy Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I don't want it to ruin my Mission Impossible enjoyment.
It will ruin it no matter what.
I think you ruined it yourself.
First time I saw Requiem, my head was buzzing for like 12 hours, like could not sleep.
Oh, great. Lovely. Oh God. Okay. All right. Well, with that, Alex, I want you to actually give us the rundown on what you've watched this past week, because it is great list.
Sorry, I have something on my other monitor, and it's really distracted me for a second.
What, Logan? You
watching wrestling? That was like, I just had the urge earlier to watch the Logan Paul Roman Reigns Crown Jewel match.
Fair
because
enough,
it was excellent. So yeah. I gotta get my own letterbox.
There was a bit of controversy with Logan and his drink.
In Australia?
I think it was in America actually.
His energy drink, isn't it?
People were saying Prime has too much caffeine.
Yeah, so Prime Energy has now, like five times.
A lot of people were like, there's plenty of drinks on the shelf, energy drinks that have the same amount of caffeine. Well, that's what Logan was saying.
Yeah.
And he's right.
It wasn't true. Oh, he's right.
But from like the FDA's perspective, you should be banning all of those.
Yeah.
Like, you're on the right track, but this is wrong. And it's like they just noticed, like, oh, this famous guy made this drink and it's got like a dangerous amount of caffeine and sugar. Maybe we should look into this. And his defense is like, yeah, it's already on the shelf. There's plenty of Monster.
You got to stop mine. You got to stop all of them.
Yeah, these are everywhere. This is the standard.
I know it was actually an issue in Australia because it had, like, I think it took so long for it to get cleared here, the energy drink. I think now it's just available in OTRs.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's popped up.
I haven't seen it yet in anything, but I know here, like, now I'm second guessing it because I thought for Australia it had five times the amount of the recommended caffeine in caffeine drinks.
Someone said it has as much as like six. One can of Prime has the caffeine of like six cans of Coke, which sounds sickening. That's not that different to like V and Red Bull. Like they're all pretty toxic for human consumption, especially kids. Please do not let your kids.
Yeah,
but it's all they drink, man.
Children should not be. Or
energy drinks.
I like let them drink the hydration one. That's mostly harmless because it's mainly coconut water.
It's just sugar water.
It's all sugar water.
It's not even sugar water. It's like the
caffeine and sugar water all loaded together.
It's not sugar water. It's like the sweeteners. I think because you can't lie on the thing, can you?
No, sugar water.
Yeah, you can't. So it's got zero sugar in it and zero carbohydrates in it.
I have heard about like, the way they get around the no sugar thing.
It's like artificial sweeteners, which technically aren't sugar.
Yes, but there's some of them that are like exactly the same as sugar. Like they're even derived from cane plants.
It's sugar, but not sugar. Like,
one of the really famous sweeteners is literally made from sugar.
Yeah.
And like it's
like
just,
Mum, can we get sugar? No, we've got sugar at home.
We've refined this slightly differently, so we're not calling it sugar, basically, is what's going on.
Just put some healthy places. Sugar in quotation.
I think watermelon sugar is the best sugar.
Ha.
Watermelon
sugar. I agree.
There we go. Alrighty, so let's start this off, I guess. And best way to start it off is in the middle. And then we'll go up and then periodically we'll cut back.
We were going to find out how you're doing, Alex, from finding out what movies you've watched, which were apparently weird, but we never got to them.
We'll do that now quickly. So number one, I got off a plane at LAX with my dream. I got off a plane at Brisbane Airport where I immediately went and had a croissant.
Nice.
And went to the 10 o'clock showing of Astro City at a little theater because we had time to kill before our accommodation was ready.
That's the most like artsy adult thing I've ever heard.
I had a croissant.
I got off the plane at the airport. I went and had a croissant and then I went and saw the latest Wes Anderson film at a small theater.
It's like the most Wes Anderson film too. This is like his end game. It's everything that Wes Anderson has been doing, like, and he's put it into one movie.
And how about the croissant? Was it a flavored one?
So it was a ham and cheese croissant, right? Absolutely loving it. Bit into the middle, cold as ice.
Oh
yeah, had to do a Karen.
Please. Oh, you took it back. You took it back.
You can't eat a cold as ice croissant. Like you can't. Like there's so like I will eat under room temperature chips if they've just been sitting out for a bit at a place. Like I'm like I can't do a cold croissant.
Just not right.
See, I can't do conflict. Right. I'm biting down. I'm biting down on the croissant.
I hate it too. It's like, it's to the point where it's like, I would have just not eaten it. And like, if it gets to the point where like, I had paid for it at that point, I like, you know. Anyway, so Asteroid City. It was fine. It was a lot. It is about, we're watching a play. Like it's, you know, the whole, like the actual Asteroid City story is a play. And then we keep cutting to watching how the play was formed, but it's very Wes Anderson. So it makes hardly any sense. And Bryan Cranston narrates a lot. He stands there and he does a lot of narrating and Edward Norton. It's got everyone, every Wes Anderson person.
It's got everyone.
Everyone. And yeah, I don't think the movie just worked for me. I didn't think it worked very much for me. Mm. You know, I'm sure if you love Wes Anderson, you're going to cream your little panties.
Bill Murray's in this one?
No Bill Murray.
Oh, no Bill Murray.
No Bill Murray. But Steve Carell?
Yep.
So, you know, it was good. It was a good film. Just, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
There is a hilarious scene, though.
Was it leaning too hard into the Wes Anderson-ness?
Oh, yeah. It's all Wes Anderson. No, there was this fucking scene where an alien... Because, like, it's about, like, an alien... The play itself is about an alien coming to, like, a famous city where they've had a meteorite.
Mm.
An asteroid, some might say.
Oh.
And, like, the alien comes down, and it's very funny because the alien's just so, like... It kind of looks like... K2SO.
From, oh, yeah.
Like black, lanky, and two really big eyes that just look at them. And it's a very funny scene. So yeah, that was fine. Cinema was good. Popcorn was pretty good.
Nice.
Choc Top, best Choc Top I've ever had in a movie.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, it's open with that. Jeez.
we had Dendi. 10 minutes on the croissant and you bookend it with this Choc Top story? Oh my gosh.
So Dendi Cinemas at South Bank, I think.
Yep.
No, not South Bank. I don't know. Dendi Cinemas, wherever, port side, I think. You're doing your croissants well. not croissants. No, you're doing your Choc Tops well. Yeah, really good, really nice. 10 out of 10, Choc Top. Loved it. Anyway. Then we went back to the villa and we were like, hey, what's this 2000s movie with Jason Biggs and Oz's girlfriend from American Pie? So two American Pie alum in one movie and it's called Loser and it's fucking awful.
Oh, that's the bloody music video for Teenage Dirtbag, right?
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Is okay. Yeah, Jason Biggs is in a weird beanie or like a little like Minnesota cap. It's like one of those. I can show you. It's this. He wears this.
Dude, they filmed the Teenage Dirtbag, like much more memorable than the movie. Also, music video on that set.
It is, so obviously you recognize her from American Pie, if you do, which is Oz's girlfriend. Look, it's got not good things in it because it's not good at all. Like, there's got some bully. It's just a really bad, he's got three evil roommates that, like, there's a whole plot where they roofie women. And,
That sounds like a great plot.
Like, he doesn't roofie women. His three roommates, evil roommates do it. And, you know, it's just not good. I don't really remember much from it, and I'm glad I don't because it sucked.
God damn. It appears that the best thing out of it was the Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah. Is her boyfriend a dick?
Her boyfriend's Greg Kinnear.
Does he bring a gun to school?
No.
Are you guys not familiar with the lyrics to Teenage Dirtbag? No. Not seeing much reactions here.
Yeah. So then we're like, we just watched a really bad movie with two American Pie people in it. What should we watch next? Oh, American Pie 2.
American Pie 2
is great. It's like, it's on par. It's like the first one I like a bit more, and I think it's a better made and paced movie. But like number two's got some like iconic moments in it. And it's got, you know, I think we all just want to rent a beach house with the boys.
Oh yeah.
So then after that we watched Serendipity. I'd never seen this before, but my friend raved on about this movie. And it's basically a rom-com where the two love interests don't share a single scene together for about 80% of the film.
They're both in relationships, aren't they?
They are. So basically they meet for one night where they're both in relationships.
This is a Cusack.
Yeah, it's Cusack. This is a Cusack Beckinsale.
Cusack cocktail.
Mm-hmm. They basically meet, spend a really great night together in New York. Like just like talking and doing things, falling in love, and they,
as one does in a film,
as they do in a film,
meet cute.
And then they basically kind of go, you know, if this is meant to be, we'll find our way back to each other. Like they don't exchange any names. Basically, he just writes his name down on a like $5 bill and then pays with it. And it's like, it's kind of thing. Like if it works its way back to you, we're meant to be together. And then she writes her name in a book and puts it in a, like, he knows the book. She's like, this is a book. I'm going to write my name in it tomorrow and take it to a random bookstore. And if you find it, it means we're meant to be together. And then it cuts to like 5 years later. And then, it's good. A really good movie.
It is a good one. I remember this one. But yeah, it must be good.
Yeah,
I'll tell you one thing. After Googling it, I hate every single font that they used on any of the posters or cover art. Holy moly, they are terrible.
Right, Serendipity.
Yeah, look up Serendipity and look at the fonts used. It's either this skinny ass little piece of shit or it's this big curly whirly thick lad. Like, oh my god, the fonts are atrocious.
I don't know if it ruins the movie, but the scene where his bit gets back to him is like really good.
The book?
If I remember, yeah. Cause
the book is great.
He's gonna marry his fiance, right?
Yeah, and she gives him the book.
Spoilers. As a wedding gift.
Yeah, she gives him the book as a wedding gift because she's like, every time we go into a bookstore, you look at this book and you never buy it.
Oh my god.
And she's like, so I went and bought it for you. And he opens the book and
he's
got her name.
He knows. He's just like, oh no. And he opens it.
Yo, a screenwriter absolutely like went to heaven when they wrote that bit.
It's really good. I recommend people watch it.
I haven't heard of this movie in years, and I can see that scene. Like I can remember the colors. It's
Eugene
in, like, a
Levy.
Room.
That's cool. Eugene Levy's in it, and Eugene Levy has he's a great. He plays like a department store worker. Who is fantastic. He steals every scene he's in.
Nice.
Really good movie. What my friend pointed out, what really makes it work is that there's a side character. His best friend in the film has like a full character arc and like a full like character to him, which works really well. And it really works well within the movie and elevates the movie. But they've got excellent chemistry for as little screen time they share. And it's so believable.
That's cool.
So then he made me watch a rom-com I never watched. So I'm like, fuck it, my turn. And we put on Crazy Stupid Love. Now, I don't know if anyone here has seen Crazy Stupid Love. But everyone
Who's
should watch
actors?
Crazy. It is Steve Carell, Julian Moore, Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone.
Oh, yep. Great
Kevin
movie.
Kevin Bacon.
That's
awesome movie. Yeah. It's one of those movies where like there's a few separate stories happening at once, and then they slowly start to converge.
It's like there's another British one, which is the same.
Love Actually.
Yeah.
A bit like that. There's a reveal in the third act, which is like, I'm so glad I watched this with someone who'd never seen it because it's such a great reveal. And yeah, really great movie. Ryan Gosling's great. Steve Carell's great. Just really funny and works really well.
Nice.
So I remember the Gosling and Carell chemistry is really good in that movie.
Yeah. And then, you know, Gosling and Stone were good enough to kind of make another film together. I'm not sure you guys have heard of it. It didn't win Best Picture.
Nope.
La La Land. Anyway, so next up, Ghost Boat. Oh, sorry, Ghost Ship. This is the next day.
Is that on purpose? Or that?
What?
Did you just like recall it as Ghost Boat, or were you trying to be funny?
I'll just keep calling it Ghost Boat because
yeah.
It's like the movie's not cool enough to be called Ghost Ship. I can't wait to show you I'm showing the end of this movie.
okay.
Because it's awesome. The opening of this film, it has had a really good opening where
what's the context of you watching this movie?
Oh, it's so dumb. We went out for breakfast and then, we went bowling. Then my mate's like, we'll go back to the hotel for a bit. Oh no, the villa for a bit, but I don't really feel like staying in the villa for the rest of the day. So we'll go out and do something else after. I'm like, cool, let's do that. We'll just go back there for like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get back there and he puts on Ghost Ship, just finds it on Stan. And I'm just like, I guess we're watching Ghost Ship now.
Holy shit.
So, Ghost Ship, this movie's got a pretty great opening, and it had us hooked with the opening where there's all these people dancing on like a old-timey like cruise ship, and they're all like kind of dancing, enjoying this person singing. And then a piece of wire falls through and chops everyone in half but one little girl.
Oh.
Which is too short. Really brutal, really gruesome. And then we're like, oh, that's awesome. All right, this movie's got to be good. We looked at no reviews for any of the movies we hadn't seen. We just watched them.
Amazing.
That's
a good way to go into a film, just having no clue if it's good or bad.
Yeah. So, cool. But yeah, so that happened. And then, you know, we watched the movie and the movie's a fucking stinker. So boring. Such a bad horror film. If it's meant to be a horror film.
Did it blow its load in that first scene?
To me, they were going for like a mummy on a boat with ghosts, and it just didn't work at all.
That sounds like a different movie that you went and saw this week, but we'll get to that.
No, we'll watch. We'll talk about that because that movie was a bit of fun. This one was not so much. But anyway, so can I show the ending?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, cool.
Spoilers for the, I assume, 2000s movie Ghost Boat. I mean, Ghost Ship.
Ghost Boat.
Ship Boat.
All right.
All right, here we are. Ghost Ship. What is this soundtrack?
Right.
This is the end?
This is the end. Look, here's our lady heroine.
Yep.
And we're about to see the villain.
Our final girl.
It's the movie. It's the end of the movie.
Oh my god, that was so bad.
It was like a dramatic scene from like a kids show.
Yeah.
but no.
Oh my god. Yeah, I felt like I was just watching like H2O just add water or something.
Doesn't the music kind of make it a bit better though?
Oh. The music makes it a little bit better, but like, my god.
There's a scene where a guy follows a naked ghost into the opening of an elevator, and he goes to touch her and he falls through and dies in the elevator shaft.
That's fun.
Good.
Very dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, people were really liking the ending of this movie on the YouTube comments. Ghost Boat. Go watch it if you like ghosts and boats. Or boats and hoes. Anyway, so
Ghost Hoes.
After Ghost Ship, we're like, hey, let's stick to a boat themed movie. So let's go watch four middle-aged white men go on a canoe trip down a river. And so we watched Deliverance. This is one that I just saw and I clicked on because I was like, Burt Reynolds and John Voight can't be bad, right? And I was right. It can't be bad because it was actually a really good movie. Mm. And I didn't know what the movie was about. And so these four friends, they're kind of canoeing on the water, having a good time, looking at what's left of America and shit. And
it's definitely a good one to go in not knowing anything about.
Okay, so should I not say anything?
Oh, no, no, you should keep going. Keep going.
Okay. I'm just going to say what happens. And then two of them stop off to kind of have a break, and the other two have kind of drifted back a bit. And these two stop off for a break, and one of them, and they run into two hillbillies. Oh, fucking hell. Every time I touch this camera, it falls. That's not good. Hello. This is a new camera angle.
New angle.
I have to squeeze over here.
Got
to
keep it interesting halfway through the show.
Yeah. And basically, they stop, meet two hillbillies who proceed to rape one of our main characters.
At gunpoint.
Oh, no, at gunpoint. Point.
Yeah.
I thought you said a crossbow. I thought you said at boat point.
We'll
that would
ram
be a nice
ya.
Way to threaten someone. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, in this case, there was some ramming.
No, don't worry. The case of I said that before I thought of it.
Yeah, I watched your face as you realized.
Yeah.
Were we done being silly?
Of course.
Yes. So, so they end up raping one of the guys, which is where I learned where South Park got...
I was about to ask.
The Indiana Jones... Steven Spielberg and George Lucas raping Indiana Jones that Stan dreams about.
I was going to ask, at which point did you go, oh, this is Indiana Jones from South Park?
Squeal. Mm. And drop them britches. But drop them britches, boy. The rest of the movie is really cool, though, like, in terms of, like, what happens. Like, it's one of those ones where, like, you don't feel good because, like, then they start getting paranoid that because they kill one of those hillbillies, because the other two friends like see what's happening, and they kill one of them, and then they're like, well, we can't report this like dead body to the police because we're in hillbilly territory, like they're just gonna kill us probably,
they're gonna side with them.
Yeah. And then they're just like, well, we're just going to bury the body because this place is about to be like a dam's about to be put up, and this place is going to be underwater anyway. So they do that, and then they start getting a bit paranoid because one of their other guys pulls out a boat, and they think he got shot, but I think he just like passed out or something, because he was very not on board for leaving, like covering up what happened. And he kind of like passes out, falls out the boat, and they assume that he got shot by a hillbilly on a hill. So one of them goes up to the top of the hill to kind of like see what's happening, and he sees a hillbilly with a gun, and he kills him. And they find out later that it's not like that guy was just up there. Their friend just passed out, fell out the boat, and drowned. Crazy, right?
Whoa, this is just like a series of unfortunate events.
So these victims are now victimizing innocent hillbillies, maybe.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. And like at the end, they kind of go on like the perfect amount past like them being found and like them talking to the police, being like, hey, this is what happened to us and a few guys, like telling their story, like lying, of course.
Yeah.
And then like the police clearly don't believe them, but they have nothing to say otherwise. And they're just like, just leave and never come back here.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a good movie. Still Talk to Me Again. We've talked about that many, many times now. Then the last movie I watched for the week. Oh no, I watched two more technically. I watched one on the plane on the way home, which I'll talk about because it's still a new movie.
Ooh.
We had a choice between going to see Gran Turismo and Dracula. Sorry, this is pissing me off because it's called Dracula Voyage of the Demeter here.
Yep.
But in the US, it's called The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which is such a better title.
That is.
Wait, does it not have Dracula in the title?
Yeah.
Wait,
why
doesn't
does that work
have Dracula
here?
In the title?
Why does that work in Australia but not in America? What?
I don't know. So in Australia, it's called Dracula, Voyage of the Demeter. And then in America, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which I like a lot better. If it was
I'm going to change the title on this YouTube video and podcast episode to that.
Yeah.
That's such a better title.
So
I'm curious as the marketing decision, like Australia, they'll go see Dracula. They're into
Australia,
it.
America, yeah. You put Dracula in the title, them. They're there.
So this movie's based off one chapter in Bram Stoker's Dracula novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a captain's log chapter that basically is just like a captain's log of what happened on this voyage on this ship called the Demeter. Basically, Dracula basically set up everything. He needed a way to get from wherever he was to London, and he set up this like, you know, vessel, this cruise ship. It was all planned and set up by him, and he was just gonna like kind of stow away in one of the crates on the ship. He had a few people in there in other crates that he was gonna like use as blood banks.
Yep.
like yeah. Cool. And yeah, so really cool idea in the story. And I'll give the movie this. The movie looks great.
I had low expectations of this just based on the name and the poster. But then I saw the trailer for it before. I think it played before Talk to Me when we went and saw it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that didn't look as bad as what I thought it would be.
So it looks, you know, it's so, they use sets, they use locations, like the characters are dirty, like they got like soot and stuff and dirt on them. Mm. They look like, you know, something that I feel like everyone in movies nowadays, no matter even movie, like period movies, look too clean for you know, what time they're in. But this one, they were like dirty, scruffy, and like the ship was great. It gave me major like kind of pirates vibes because we're on a boat. Yeah. Like we're on just like a full ship, and yeah, it was, you know, and then Dracula comes out and murders people. So Dracula, he's very much a monster in this movie and not a person.
Very much big vampire, that Batman.
So, and the thing is that when he's practical, like it's someone in makeup and a suit, he looks awesome.
They actually have someone in a suit for it?
For some of it. There's other times where he's CG and he looks not so good.
It shows.
It shows. So I wish there was more of the practical stuff to it. As a film with like characters and, you know, it's a bit dumb. We had a lot of fun because we were the only two in the cinema, and we went from sitting in the worst cinema we could have ever sat in the night before to sitting in the best cinema ever with recliners. We were the only two people in there. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. We just went to the Euros shop next to it and got a brekkie Euros, which was a Euros with bacon, egg, hash browns, and sausage and barbecue sauce. It was delicious. And we much enjoyed it in very nice personal theater. And we just had a lot of fun with it. And I ended up giving it 3.5. Look, it's probably like a 3. But
yeah,
I don't know. I just had a lot of fun with this one.
Holy moly. Okay. So as you were saying that, I'm watching a clip from Universal on the YouTube channel called The Last Voyage of the Demeter, Creating Dracula Featurette. And yeah. I recommend just watching this, even if you don't care about the movie at all. It looks wild seeing this on a set in like the full makeup and like costume effects. Holy crap. Yeah. It's horrifying.
Like the kills were good. Like it's kind of your horror movie thing where characters do really dumb shit. They find out pretty important information and do nothing with it.
Yeah.
And like, it's good. It took some risks that I have not seen a movie done in a long time though, in terms of what characters they kill. Like very, very like shocking and very refreshing.
I can't keep watching this clip. It's terrifying. Seeing him like, crawl around is so gross.
So, yeah, fun. Fun pirate swashbuckling.
Swashbuckling monster movie. That's cool. I'm happy that is better than I expected it to be.
Yeah, and I still got to watch Gran Turismo.
I'm seeing Gran Turismo this week too.
Yeah, so. I would have saw it if we didn't go to a theater that wanted to charge $26 for a ticket.
That's hefty.
But on the way, the night, like one of the nights there, No Hard Feelings came out on VOD, which is the Jennifer Lawrence one. And I rented it. Oh, I bought it. I was just like, fuck it, I'll buy it and watch it. And like, we all sat down to watch it, and we got 20 minutes into it, and there was not a single joke in the movie, so we turned it off. So I was like, fuck it, I bought it, I'm going to watch it on the plane ride home. Mm-hmm. Ended up surprising me, not because they definitely marketed this thing like a hard art comedy, right?
They really did market it like that, yes.
It was so much more like almost a rom-com where, you know they don't really end up, like they just end up being friends by the end because of like obviously the age difference and shit.
Yeah.
But like it was really kind of sweet, and like the guy that plays this kid is great. And it ended up being like more enjoyable, but not in the way I think the movie wanted to be, like was marketed to be. Like, if you're going in for like a very funny comedy, I don't think you're going to enjoy it. But if you go in for like, I don't know, almost like a heartfelt friendship bonding thing with a few jokes, then you'll probably get there. Jennifer Lawrence does get fully nude and beat up a bunch of kids on the beach. So
wow, that's a sentence I'd never thought I would hear.
But yeah, I enjoy. I gave 3 out of 5. I thought it was all right. That's it. Oh, I watched Spider-Verse on the plane too.
Nice.
Yeah, I got last 30 seconds of that to watch.
30 seconds. You couldn't finish the 30 seconds.
They told me to put my shit away, man. I was like, it's about a cut to black where he goes. Like,
it's 30 seconds.
And they were like, the landing, sir,
please.
They're like, sir, we've already grounded and played in Sydney. Please calm down.
Bless. Goddamn. Well,
all right, that's me.
Thank you for the update and all the brand new movie reviews. What else have we all been watching?
I'm done. I gave you everything. 40 minutes of shit. You guys go.
That was a lot.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Michael and Christian have to bring to the table before I bring what I'm bringing.
Rewatched a few things, definitely talked about. Rewatched Gettysburg, one I've talked about before a lot. Very long movie, very passionate, historical, accurate movie. One of those great historical flicks, you know, on the list.
Christian
and also watched Last Samurai, which
is it good?
Not as renowned for accuracy, but it's good. It's good. You can't not say it's good. That's the problem. It's just like, it gives you Tom Cruise, a Tom Cruise action movie. It gives you the period. It gives you
awesome,
beautiful Japan. Like, and it gives you a vague history.
2.5 hours.
So like, the little, it's a long one. The little things don't matter because
Billy Connolly?
It sells the setting. Which is the whole movie, really, because it's a very, very theme-based film. Like, it's just so, like, if you like Japan, you like samurai swords, this is your movie.
Yeah.
And the only thing is, it is a classic white savior. Incredibly, you know, Tom Cruise comes in.
Pettigrew's in it.
Tom Cruise comes in and becomes the best samurai, obviously.
Yeah.
The white man.
Because he's a white
man. in a year, becomes, like, the great, great best samurai, yeah. But yeah, it's good. Its worst crime is that they say that the samurai in the movie don't use firearms because it's dishonorable, which is the most like Disney history thing to think ever, because the samurai have been using guns against each other for hundreds of years because they're great warriors, and great warriors will take advantage of
use everything,
fire sticks. Yeah. So it's ridiculous that they say that. Yeah, the real samurai used firearms, and that wasn't a point at all at the time.
Bless.
But it made the movie cool, and I think it adds to the idea of modern versus traditional culture. Yeah. I think that's why they bring that aspect into the movie, to really sell that divide, even though they both would have had guns. So yeah, Last Samurai,
bit of fun.
Check it out.
No, Michael, you got anything to?
Yes. So the only thing that I have is a new series.
Ooh.
Of a show that we've all watched at least the first season of, at least 2 out of 3. It's Only Murders.
Ooh, I do.
Gemma? Maybe like a week before it came out, had like offhandedly mentioned that it was coming out like last week. And then I just completely and utterly forgot. But even before that, I completely and utterly forgot they were doing a season 3.
Yeah.
So it sort of hit Wednesday night. And she turned to me. She's like, we're going to watch the new episodes tonight. I was like, what do you want about? New episodes of what? And then it was Only Murders.
Like, Succession's ended.
So we got a double drop last week of Only Murders episodes.
Nice.
Return of the gang of podcasters, in which podcast hasn't started yet in 2 episodes, but
fair enough.
It's good. I'm enjoying it. I forgot that Paul Rudd was in this season.
The new edition.
Meryl Streep still in it too. So,
is Paul Rudd in it much?
Been in a fair bit the past two episodes, I'd say.
Good.
Been in a bit.
Cool.
But it sort of starts with a murder not in the building.
Oh, well, then wrong time.
And then it turns into a murder in the building. And
ooh.
Oh, that's right time.
I'll let people watch it.
Ooh, but very exciting.
I just like the dynamic the three have. I enjoy it. I think they work pretty well together. So even if it's not a great season, I'll probably just end up chuckling along with them anyway.
Yeah.
I'm still watching.
I still need to watch season two.
Same.
I think I do really season want one to, was just so good. I don't think they're going to really at a top.
Yeah, because it just came out of nowhere and it was just excellent.
And I don't think anyone expected like that from those three, just like for it to work. And I think they did the whole who did it sort of thing.
Yeah, they did a great whodunit with that first season. So I am interested to see what they do in the second season.
Season two is still pretty good, so we'll see how this goes. It's got 8.8 and 8.9 so far in the first two episodes.
Very respectable. Very nice.
Yeah, that's all. That is actually all I think.
Very nice. Well, I have one thing that I have watched this past week, and it is a fairly new thing. I watched the entirety of Heartstopper. Over on Netflix, you can find Heartstopper season one. It came out a little while ago, and I hadn't watched it because I wanted to read the graphic novel. And then season two was coming out, and Mikhail was like, "Braden, Jesus Christ, you have to just watch this already so that we can watch season two together." I was like, okay. We proceeded to binge watch through the entirety of season one and then the entirety of season two. And oh my God, this show is just the sweetest thing on the planet. It's so, so, so good at its representation and the way they show the awkwardness, but also the like the really innocent, sweet side of like queer love, like as a teenager. How they represent that and across all these different characters and like each of their different experiences. Oh my God. Just so well done. Like the show is obviously held together by the fact that you cannot help but love these two main characters, Nick and Charlie. Like they are the sweetest couple and you just want the best for them at all times. And, for anyone who doesn't know what the plot is, it's basically about Charlie, this out gay person at school, has a crush on this rugby player in the year level above him. And he is just like, oh, I have this stupid crush on this guy. And then the other guy starts sort of questioning himself and like finding himself that, yeah, he does actually really like Charlie back. And turns out he's bi, and they address that really well. And yeah, they really delve into every single side of like sexual orientation and like gender. It's just awesome. I really, really loved it. You get this great little cast of characters where everyone kind of represents a different group, and it's just so well done. It just makes you smile. I absolutely bawled my eyes out at the end of season one when he comes out to his mum, who is Olivia Colman. And it's an incredible scene. I highly recommend it. It's just very, very sweet and just so touching. And yeah, I was just a wreck. I was crying my eyes out. Season two didn't get me to cry like that per se, but like I feel like it had some really, really strong moments in it that I think are going to hit some people who are like going through some of this stuff themselves. Which I mean is kind of what this show is for. Like it's for like teenagers to watch it and feel, oh, that's what I'm going through right now. I feel that exact way. And yeah, it's just, it deals with, parenting relationships and, love and loss and, it just friendships and growing apart and cutting toxic people out of your life and going on school trips to Paris, which is just nice. But yeah, I absolutely adore it. They are already confirmed for a season three and cool. I can't wait. It's going to be great. I highly recommend if anyone just needs something to give you a nice warm fuzzy feeling in your heart, watch Heartstopper, season 1 and 2.
Very nice. Yeah. Very beautiful.
Lovely.
Yeah, they're just a... It was just... And also, the graphic novels are great. And everyone should check them out. Well, that is it for our wild, wild west of episode 215, where we talked from ghost boats to falling in love through books and $5 bills and Dracula.
Samurais.
And white samurais.
Hit a lot of genres today.
I think
we've
got raunchy comedies. I'm not talking about No Hard Feelings. I'm talking about American Pie. We've got rom-coms. We've got thriller, horror.
We talked about a music video as well.
we talked about that Dracula boat movie.
Wes Anderson.
Jennifer Lawrence getting a rack out. The gay and bi teen love story, and two old men and a young girl solving crime on a podcast. That is, I think, the entire gamut of what you can watch on television.
Today. That's what's available today.
That's it.
That's why we're here.
We're here.
So you don't have to. We watch it, so you don't have to.
I'm here to tell you not to watch Ghost Ship.
Ghost Ship.
Going to a boat near you. They should play that movie on those cruise ships.
Yes. Oh my god.
I want to go on like a cruise ship, and I want them to like play specifically boat related movies.
Just Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic.
Well, Titanic has to have like a theme of disaster or horror to them.
Yeah, it's like watching air crash investigations on a plane.
It's like watching Airplane or Flying High while on an airplane.
Yeah.
No, I did see they are doing screenings of the Meg 2, those big, like, where everyone goes out into, like, a big pool or an ocean, and, like, they're just floating there watching the movie.
Can I be completely honest?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go watch the Meg 2.
Mate.
Neither, probably.
Don't. Don't. Just don't. Watch it.
I'm gonna YouTube the last 15 minutes when it comes out.
Honestly, yeah, that's the way to do it.
I'm going to watch Jason Statham Meg 2 highlights. Shirtless yep. moments.
That is the way to do it. Weirdly.
I feel like he doesn't get shirtless.
No, I don't think he does get his shirt off.
Oh, I feel like everything's kind of started to sag.
Yeah, I think he just...
he's aging.
It's like Tom Cruise, but like Tom Cruise, you kind of don't want... You don't want Tom Cruise to take his shirt off anymore.
It ruins the illusion.
Yeah. Like when I was watching Top Gun Maverick, they do a beach scene. I'm not sure if you guys seen Top Gun Maverick, but there's a beach scene.
You can tell that he's aged, but he's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell.
You can tell it's a 50-year-old man when the shirt comes off.
But also that film had the advantage of having been filmed years prior.
That's true. Yeah. That's why he held it off so long.
So it's like, this is going to keep me looking young in the public image.
People would think I look like this now, but really,
you would like
down there.
To see Tom Cruise shirtless in his prime. Last Samurai. Hey, lots of shirtless scenes of him being nursed back to health and his wounds being cleaned by a Japanese woman, obviously. And
people want to watch. If people want to watch Dracula shirtless, then Dracula Voyage of the Demeter. You know, he's shirtless for about 100% of the film. Actually, no, wrong. He's shirtless for 95% of the film.
Whoa. I'm interested
he ends
to watch
with a shirt.
Dracula.
He ends in clothes.
Ooh.
Now, I'm being reminded, I should mention, Last Samurai is a Dances with Wolves remake.
One of those.
Now, Kevin Costner gets fully buck naked in Dances with Wolves.
He's not a pussy.
So worth mentioning. And as far as Dances with Wolves remakes go, it's above Avatar, for sure. Well above Avatar. Avatar's awful.
Oh, bless.
So Last Samurai has that.
Alex's face has just dropped.
In terms of a Dances with Wolves remake, Alex.
Did you just say Avatar was okay?
In terms of, I'm speaking purely in comparison to Dances with Wolves, because it's a genre now.
Oh, okay, so this is on the Dances with Wolves scale.
Yeah,
It's either Dances with Wolves or not Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves is a clear topper.
Okay.
And then maybe the extended edition is below that, because there's more too many shots of the prairie, as we discussed. And then you have the South Park Dances with Smurfs, which is brilliant. And then Last Samurai, and then Avatar.
That's it. That's MMT's official Dances with Wolves ranking.
No, it's not. That's Chris's official. Mine goes Avatar.
You know any other remakes of Dances with Wolves, email them in.
Does Avatar 2 count?
No. That's a remake of Free Willy.
Dances with Wolves 2. Mm. This time we're going to get that whale.
Does the boy go in and fuck the whale through the mouth?
Well, maybe it's open for interpretation.
Yeah, it's open to interpretation. I mean, the movie is called Free Willy.
Free Willy.
That one time in the middle of the film when the screen just fades to black. You know, piece it together as you will.
The whale does jump over the boy, and he's looking up. He's getting a good look.
Does the boy jump over that whale though?
The boy freezes Willy with a whale. to come in.
The boy in the pool wet with the whale. That's
one of the moments from The Meg 2. That's what was reminding me about.
Statham fucks a whale?
No. There's a moment where they totally could have just done a Free Willy moment, but instead it like bursts through a vent instead, which is way more boring. It should have just leaped out.
Cowards, make it Free Willy.
They should have done the pretend they're doing a Free Willy moment and then.
Do you reckon Jason Statham would Free Willy?
I reckon Jason Statham would do a fully nude scene. What?
You reckon?
I think he freed many Willies in his time.
I feel like we've like missed that era of Jason Statham. I feel like
Want to take his shirt off, he's not pulling his cock out in movies anytime soon.
Like, Jason Statham's next hit HBO show.
Yeah, he's gonna be on the Game of Thrones prequel. He's gonna be a Targaryen, pulls his cock out.
Look, if I'm gonna get my cock out.
Well, I gotta be in one of
these. Dragon.
If I'm gonna get
my cock out, ride a dragon, all right?
All right, I've done sharks, now I'm doing dragon.
I've done cars, like, I've done sharks, I've done spies.
Yeah,
I've done them all. There's just one thing left to tame.
Done
dragon.
Crime.
Goddamn.
Bit of gypsy.
Bit of gypsy.
Now I'll be a Targaryen.
And on that, thank you so much for joining
Targaryen?
Us for episode 215 of Pembertine.
I'll give it to that Daenerys.
You can follow us on your podcast service.
That Daenerys doesn't know what's coming.
You can subscribe over on your
that
YouTube
Daenerys
channel.
Get some Free Willy.
Which is us. Subscribe over at youtube.com/Pembertine Movie Talk. Leave a like, leave a comment, all that jazz. If you
one
can
dragon,
leave a review
we can
in your
get
podcast
to the wall
service,
in 3 days,
leave
three
a review.
Passengers, that's 2 days. Right. That's no good.
And and we're saying that.
I'm out.
I am Brayden.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Michael.
Jason Statham, are we out of here?
We're out of here.
Okay. Thank you, Jason Statham.
The voice was different each time anyone did it, I think.
Yeah. Bye.